And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Test, 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 test.
Thank you all for tuning in to Professor Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson. Just a little housekeeping information. This is a call-in show, and you can talk about any of your Indian family destruction problems or issues. Let me give you the phone number to start with. It's toll-free in USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. 888-228-4494. We also have several landlines, which I'll give throughout the show. But prior to this, I just want to start off with just a quick word of understanding. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be the Lord. So what we're trying to do in this show is basically trying to help you with this destruction that's out there. So at this time, I'll be taking callers on any of those family destructive issues, substance abuse, domestic violence, relationship issues, children problems. Just call me. I am a therapist, and I will be able to help you with your calls. At this time, the phone lines is now open for calls. And I guess I'll talk till I get a first caller. One of the things that we really want to talk about a lot is really going even further more. I hope people can call me about their issues with anger and issues with frustrations with people and different anger styles. That's definitely a topic we're talking about. Of course, next week, next show, I want you to know that we'll be starting at 4 o'clock instead of 4:30. So our time will be changed for a minute. So please tune in. It's every other week, so it won't be next Sunday. It'll be the Sunday after next at 4 o'clock. So having all that done, I guess I'll continue onward because this is a very important topic, topics that we're going to be addressing. One of the topics, of course, is anger. I'm going to talk a lot about the different styles of anger. There's anger avoidance. There's the sneaky behavior type of anger. The paranoid anger. The sudden anger. The shame-based anger. Deliberate anger. And then there's the addictive anger and habitual anger. The moral anger. And then there's just plain hate. Any of those topics are open for discussion. Because, I tell you, those topics are a reality in the world today and in our lives and in our families. We must make a strong stance against them if our family is to be viable and have a chance. You know? Without that, you're asking for trouble. So, callers, once again, the line is open. Let me give you my other number, just in case the 888 phone number is crowded. But I'll give you the 888-228-4494. Now, we also have a worldwide number, too, and that's 877-489-6350. Once again, that's 877-489-6350. We have some direct lines if those lines are busy. 530-776-5154. 530-776, another number, 5185. And there's the last number we have is 530 876-9916. So once again, the lines are open, and you can discuss any of the topics. I will start off with anger. Let's start off with avoidance. You know, these people are very peculiar people, because these people, they don't usually, they don't like to be angry, but somehow they think that they are afraid of their own anger or their anger towards others. It's a scary thing, you know. They seem to just somehow just get mad and just lose control.
Hello?
Okay, caller.
Okay, good day, Professor.
Hello?
Yeah, good day.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Who am I speaking with?
Oh, yes, I'm Winston.
Winston?
Yes.
How can I help you today, Winston?
Oh, well, I'd just like to, well, this question, you know, is related to relationships.
Okay.
Yeah,
you having a problem?
Hello?
Are you having a problem?
Oh, well, yes, and from what I've seen, you know, in many other cases, you know, just an issue I think I'd love to have discussed maybe, you know, just air my views, you know, and hear other people's views on the matter.
Okay. Well, tell me about it.
Okay. You know, why is it that in a relationship, you know, people can, let's say, change, and there's so much misunderstanding, you know, over some simple little issues. It's a problem that used to be accepted. Suddenly, it's no longer accepted. It, you know, it becomes a problem. Let's say, for argument's sake, you have a couple. The man may be a bit conservative, while the woman may be otherwise, you know, the more talkative type and so. And gradually, over a period of time, it becomes a major issue. After a while, the woman starts seeing the man as not wanting to talk to her, and you know, those sort of things.
Yeah.
And then now, as a result of that, a lot of communication problems develop, because it is maybe the man's nature to be, you know, shy or conservative, and the woman sees it as a deliberate issue or a deliberate way of getting to her. You know that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And
you know,
as a result of that, the relationship deteriorates.
What it sounds to me like is that generally people think that they're communicating with their partners, and they think that they're getting their partner's needs met. And sometimes, because some people don't want to explain to the person in detail, or they feel that if they brought this up, it would cause problems, they have a tendency to stuff things. Or either that, or they feel that it would offend the other person, so they'll try not to talk about it. And then what happens is it'll usually build up. So you thought it was okay. They never thought it was okay. So since you thought it was okay, you thought, wow, all of a sudden when it comes to be a big problem, you didn't realize it was a build-up. And that's, well, that's a type of anger as well, because it's basically you're depriving it and pushing it under as if it doesn't exist as a problem, when for the other party it is a problem, and they just never expressed it to you.
I think that's hitting closer to home, in that, yes, some people don't like to argue, okay? And
yeah,
they'll do everything to avoid arguments, okay, or confrontation then. And that the person sees as a way of avoiding them. But it's not really a matter of avoiding them. It's just a matter of trying to keep peace. Because
I hear what you're saying. And what you're saying is that you don't like confrontation. But see, if you're in a relationship, there's going to be confrontation, because we're all different. And if you don't have a confrontation, then what's going to happen is the other person's needs will never get met. And you avoiding the confrontation, meaning that you'll never find out what the person is really thinking. A good relationship does have confrontation, but a good relationship also consists of you have to be able to communicate to get your needs met. And if you keep avoiding the situation, someone will go years, months, however long without getting their needs met until one day it'll seem like, wow, why are you changing on me? No, they're not changing on you. You've just never got a chance to get to know the real person that they are. And now that they're expressing it because they can no longer hold on to this feeling inside, it bursts over like a can of pop that's exploding. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, that may be true. But the person, you know, they were used to each other being like this before, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's as if where they cannot understand. The man will feel like he can't understand why the woman cannot understand him. And the woman, you know, is saying that, well, the man is not understanding her also, you know?
Yeah.
Are you getting me?
You know, it's weird because we think that everything might have been good before, but maybe for her, it may have never been good. And because of maybe you're a nice-looking guy or you're an intelligent guy or you're a good provider, they'll never tell you because maybe they don't want to lose that in which they have. And they're happy overall. But then as time goes on, they start to say to myself, am I neglecting my true needs? And so what you thought was fine was never really, really fine. And that's some of the differences between how men think and women think. Am I making myself clear?
Yes, very clear. When sometimes it's just very difficult to, you know, understand. And then, you know, maybe for the man, let's see, when did that, you know, all of a sudden, all of this has changed, you know? And then now, sometimes you start to, not everybody will do a soul search, you know? The woman will be blaming the man as well.
I want to tell you, let me give you a little hint about women. You keep saying this thing of all of a sudden. Most women, it's not all of a sudden. It's always generally planned. It may seem all of a sudden to you, but the reality is, it's never, hardly ever, all of a sudden. They probably have talked to people and communicated with their girlfriends and watched Dr. Phil and all kind of things before they've come to this conclusion. And so it may appear all of a sudden. What it is that all of a sudden they're ready for the confrontation that didn't occur earlier. And so by you avoiding confrontation, you avoid finding out how to meet their needs. This is what I'm trying to stress in this call.
You know, it's just so funny, you know? It's just so funny, really. Because the man may be there blaming the woman, and she's there blaming him, you know? The man is saying that, well, boy, she has become withdrawn, she has changed, you know, X, Y, Z. While the man on the other, well, she and the other man is saying that, no, all along, you have not been communicating. So it's not a matter that I'm not communicating. I talk to you, I do this, I, you know. But sometimes they want every, you know, they want to share the quote, everything. Maybe the man, maybe the type was shy or reserve. Let's use the word reserve.
Uh-huh.
And many things that happen, you may just, I'd say, push it under the carpet. Internalize some, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it doesn't bring up something because it doesn't want, as you say, an argument about the issue and so. And, you know, basically, when the woman, as you say, well, may become enlightened as all these matters, the man says, but, you know, I'm just trying to just keep things peaceful and so on. And then, now, sometimes, oh, that is a big issue. You know, comes on. You know, that sort of thing.
Because, once again, I want to leave you with this before I let you go out the air, is that you have to understand what may be peaceful to you is not peaceful to her. And what I want to leave you with this is some advice. And this is the advice. I want you to start taking time out in your schedule where you can specifically ask each week what is going on in your life. Is there anything that I'm not doing, or is there anything that I can do to help you meet your need? And what need do you have? And maybe you could write it down, or she could write it down, and then you won't have to wonder, you won't have to guess. It's funny that her girlfriends probably know more about what's going on as far as what she needs than you do. And so what I'm trying to say is you need to be that loop, and you need to get rid of that intermediate person that does not need to be interfering, because if you do your job, then she don't have to talk to as many people trying to get her needs met. So I want to leave you with that, and I want you to call back each week if you can, and keep us updated, okay?
Okay.
All right. So thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Have a nice day. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
That last caller had an interesting situation, and I tell you, it's a common issue that women are pretty good communicators, and most of the time, a lot of the clients I deal with, they fail to communicate properly. And in fact, usually when there's a problem, a lot of the guys will run out the house and just want to go get intoxicated. And that's in my classes and my therapy sessions that I teach. I ask them, how do you handle problems? They say, I leave. And by leaving, and then they usually come back intoxicated, I don't see how you're going to solve the problem. The first thing is you need to find out what the problem is. And if you can't do that, that's half the battle. So generally, you know, if you know some of her friends and you got a good relationship with them, I bet you can find a lot of information about what's going on with them, and more than men tend to know. We just don't really dig down deep and try to find out the true solution. We figure we're doing everything right at home. You know, we're handling our business in the bed, and, you know, we're paying the bills, and we think that that's enough. You know, and we say, I do my part, but really that's not enough. And that's just not just your part. Your part is to maintain your relationship, and you are the maintainer of the container. And if you can't maintain the container, then generally there's a lot of other people waiting in line to do so in some capacity. So it's a whole person concept in which I teach. So anytime that there's a concept where, you're leaving out parts, then other people tend to want to fill in wherever it is that you're lacking. So just keep those things in mind, callers. And I'm open again for any caller wanting to know some more information about any of the relationship or got a problem or anything going on. Feel free to tune in to our number, 888-228-4494. I know the caller lines are open at this time. So, but in the meanwhile, I shall continue onward expressing anger until I get another caller, because, you know, I love talking about this anger thing, because, man, this thing about anger is that we all have it, and I'm going to tell you this, that there is nothing wrong with having anger. What's wrong with it is how we express it and how we handle when someone's angry at us, because when someone's generally angry at me, yeah, of course, you want to get upset back, but for me, that's not always the first response. My first response is, did I do something to truly cause them to be angry, or is it something within their own self? Some of these types of anger that I spoke of, with not in detail yet, that has led them to their own devices. And sometimes, you know, you could be in a relationship and it's got nothing to do with what you did. It could be something that they did, and or something has to do with the way they were raised, that could make them upset about anything and their communication styles. So a lot of people have a lot of hidden anger inside of them. And as we go over the anger topic in more detail, feel free to call in, and I'll be glad to express any of the relationship issues or things about the anger that could be bothering you, you know. But at no callers at this time, I want to talk about the next kind of anger in a little more detail than I did the first anger. This is sneaky anger. Sneaky anger is just—it's just like it sounds. It's sneaky. You know, you generally don't have any idea of what's going on with the person. You know, and the sad thing is, they may even not know what's going on. You know, the sneaky anger—it sneaks up on them too, because it comes out in different forms. They say that sometimes, when persons are experiencing this type of anger, they're so upset that they start forgetting things, a lot of things, you know, and forget things that they've done, that they've intended to do. It's crazy, this kind of anger, because most people haven't the slightest idea that they're acting this way, but other folks, other people always tend to be able to tell you, you know, that you're acting a certain way, you know. And then, you know what, especially your family, because in these kind of situations, families are the bearer of angry people, of anger. generally, the closest person to you is the one that can offend you. I think I'm going to say that again. The closest person to you is generally the one that can offend you. And you wonder why is that so? Because when someone's in close proximity to you, you have a tendency to put down your guards. And what I mean with that is that you want, if someone's coming at you with a knife, a stick, or a gun, you're generally going to run or try to defend yourself or pull a gun back out at the person. But if someone's coming at you and they have posed as a family member or a friend, you generally allow them to come close into your intimate zone. That zone with that arm length rule that we call back in Chicago where I'm from, when someone comes in that zone, we tend to get a little itchy or edgy because we don't know what your intentions are at that point. If you're family, though, we tend not to get that way. But let me tell you something there. Families are the ones you got to be careful about getting close to that. Now, maybe they won't knock you on the head, but they will do a form of sneaky anger that you wouldn't even expect that they had any hostilities in their mind towards you, because then they'll try to get a sense of control. And I'll tell you, they love frustrating you on top of that. You know, this kind of anger is just out of hand, out of whack. Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, caller. Who am I talking with?
Oh, this is Miriam.
How you doing, man? What's the problem today? Oh, yeah, you can also, Marion, it'd be good to turn the internet off because at this point you can, there'll be a background echo in it.
So okay, I just did.
Okay, what can I do for you today?
Well, I have a question for you. How do you do, like, when you have a family or someone you love have substance abuse? Without, you know, giving up so easily or, I mean, you want to be there for them, but at the same time, you feel like there is no hope.
Wow. Hey, that's a very interesting question. I'm a substance abuse counselor as well. And
okay.
One of the things I know is that when you love somebody, no matter what someone says, you generally don't want to leave them, even if they are destructive in their behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can tell you this is that it's good to show support, but then there's a fine line to are they taking what you're doing for granted and are they going to continue to run you over? One of the things I want to tell you is, one of the things I want to tell you is that the first thing you can never do is try to conduct their treatment. You can make suggestions, but leave it as just purely suggestions, not do or die, or this or that, because usually when you tell a man especially that he does this or that, what they'll do is they'll pretend to do this or that, or they'll respond negatively to it. When people think that they're being forced to change and they're going to do it because you say it, it never happens. I've never seen it happen. I've only seen it happen when they made up in their mind a determinate spirit that this is what they're going to do. Now, dealing with substances is such a crazy thing because we're talking, once again, about the whole person concept in which more than one thing is affected. One of the things you can do is get information through Al-Anon and all those things, organizations that can tell you about some of the areas in which they might help you identify some of the areas. Some of the more common areas is their spirituality, which I talk a lot about because I'm a reverend, and that if that is, in fact, their relationship with some kind of higher power is not there, or no true understanding or commitment to that, it's going to be a good possibility that that's going to intervene the most. Because when your spirit is under attack on the evil, like I read in the beginning passage, which I said, you know, then you don't believe that the Lord is on your side, because chances are you're in the evil world, he's going to let you to all your own devices. So if that person is out there in this world and they're doing things that's wrong spiritually, they have to understand, first of all, that they're in wrong. So if they realize they got a problem, they're not in denial, and then it's not giving you lip service, then the next thing that you have to do is follow a pattern. If they're not making a good pattern towards doing the right things, even if they're baby steps, if they have to be doing it consistently, making a good effort, then at that point, it may come to a point, if they're not doing those things, that you may need to plan to leave. And now, I'm going to say this again because a lot of people don't understand what that means. What that means is that it doesn't mean that you just take off. You could have kids, you could have property together and all those things. planning to leave if things don't work out is merely saying, okay, he's not developing a good plan. He's not following through with what he says. And what you're doing at that point is you're starting to get separate checking accounts saying that I want no statements to come to my house. You're getting a safe deposit box where you put the keys and identifications and social security cards and all the important information just in case you had to leave suddenly. You're letting other folks know that your situation may not be okay and that I could be in danger. I'm not sure because I'm planning on leaving. So only close people and they can't talk back. This can't be a rumor thing. See, trust is a big issue during this time, too. So you have to have people that you can trust around you not to bring back information that could be deadly to you or your children in this case. And then after that, if he's starting to show that he's still not going to change, then that's a whole different story. If he starts to show that there's possibilities, say like he gets involved with a good church and he starts to go to meetings in church and starts to act some way, talk is cheap because lip service is a common thing in therapy. We hear lip service all the time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When are you going to do that? Because I tell people, I look at patterns. Because once you have a pattern, then you can start establishing that, okay, I know this person for a long time. This is a pattern that's different. He's doing something different this time. I can see it. I can feel it. I know it's true. But if not, if that doesn't occur in a reasonable amount of time, you continue on to plan to leave. And then when that happens, you also have to assess, is your situation dangerous? Is this person going to come looking for me? If so, then you need to get a hold of some resources. And if necessary, if it gets violent, or you feel really fearful, then upon moving out, you need to get a restraining order. Not that a sheet of paper can protect you, but a sheet of paper can definitely allow them. Nowadays, they don't allow people to get away with much on when you got a protection order against you. So that hopefully it'll never come to that, but that's something you should have in the back of your mind because protection for you and your children is more important than a relationship with you and a man.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
because that's ultimate. We have to take care of our children. Our children are suffering because of our issues as parents. We always say, man, you should listen to your parents. Why am I going to listen to my parents? They're going through some stuff. They ain't right themselves. And we wonder why kids are so messed up.
That's right.
I said that last 2 weeks on my speech. We're messed up because the parents are messed up. And, you know, somewhere along the way, they have to go ahead and do the right thing. And I want to leave you with this thought. The first thing they really need to do is to form a solid relationship that's spiritual. And if they don't accept God, they need to accept something greater than themselves. Because themselves have bought nothing for destruction. And if they can't reflect on that, then that's an issue right there. If they think that they're their gods and they're their own gods, then do the right thing. You know?
Proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. I feel like he's going in the right direction right now, but he did that in the past, and he felt me. I mean, it's like, he's doing good, and we go in church, and all of a sudden, he's back to, you know, where he left off.
Yeah, well, see, going to church does not necessarily reflect that. What is, you should see a change in attitude. You should see him at home reading, studying, and trying to achieve that in which he never had. And if you see that, those kind of things, then at that point, I believe it's a possibility that there is some hope. And if you don't see any hope, then you just need to make plans to do something else.
Okay.
So what I'd like you to do is call me back next week and keep me posted, and I'll be glad to keep answering any of your questions, and we can go from there.
I will, and you're doing really good. I'd love to listen to you guys' station, and you're doing really well.
Well,
thank you so much.
And tell all your friends, give them my 800 number, and tell them to tune in. Tell them next week, 2 weeks from now, we'll be on the air at 4 o'clock, okay?
4 o'clock? Okay.
All right. Thank you, and call back again.
I will. Bye-bye.
Hey, this caller was really interesting, and I just want to thank, you know, you can call me about any problems or any issues because those type of things is what I do for a living. I'm a domestic violence counselor, a drug and alcohol counselor, a family therapist, a reverend, a preacher, a teacher, a professor. I teach psychology at Seattle Central Community College. So if it's from a psychological perspective you can deal with, you don't understand the spiritual concept in which I'm bringing, whatever necessary, I will be glad to hit on that angle. So once again, the call lines is open, so you give us a call, 888-228-4494. I love working with these type of issues because this is what our societies is facing. These are the common factors of relationships, the lack of communication, family destruction through substances. And you know, when I went over 2 weeks ago, what are the parameters for a good family, good relationship? Some of those things is what we're talking about today. People are calling in and saying and talking about those issues. I want you to feel free to call in. This station and this radio talk, what we're doing here, is going to help some people. It's going to help a lot of people. So people can just tune in and get the message and understanding of what we're talking about. They can tell their friends and their family members, and we can really go deep, even if it's a parenting issue. A lot of you young people out there got kids, and you want to know how to deal with being a good parent. We'll be talking about those things, too. So at the time, the call line is once again open. You can give us a call, 888-228-4494. And once again, we also open worldwide, because we have a worldwide number, 877-489-6350. So I'm glad that we have a worldwide audience. We hope to build that audience as people get news of this ending family destruction talk show, and know that this is the problems that the world is now facing. The only reason I can imagine somebody don't want to call in, because it's possibly they like being in problems. They like dealing with destruction, and if you like that kind of stuff, then continue on. But if you want to make some changes in your life, if you want things to be different, then you have to do things differently. You can't count on that things will just go away and problems will just solve themselves, and you can drink and use drugs, and all that's going to do is really cause you to forget. And then when you get sober, you're going to remember again. So guess what you got to do? You got to follow that pattern and get intoxicated again. These are the reasons that people tend to get caught up in addiction or some type of addiction, whatever it is that you do. And we know that people do every type of thing. So I'm going to go onward until I get another caller with, now we talked about setting anger. We haven't talked about setting anger yet, but we talked about the first couple of angers. Paranoid anger is a whole different type of anger. I want to let you guys know something. If we have any women out there, I hope you don't get offensive, but, depression is a common thing, mostly among women. Now, men have depression as well, but it doesn't come out as depression. For men, it comes out as anger. Anger and depression are almost like on the opposite pendulum, but the same. Most men tend to have anger issues first and then turn it inward second. Most women tend to have stuff inward first and then show the anger later. So it's easier to diagnose a woman for depression or those type of issues, and harder to diagnose men who may be experiencing depression as well. And that's the reason why. It's because of the way that we usually, how it presents itself to us therapists. We assume those type of things. But paranoid anger is just an irrationally type, when people feel irrationally threatened by others for no reason. It's just like the word said, paranoid. You're just paranoid, and you just, after a while, they say with this type of anger, you just seek aggression everywhere. You just start to believe that people want to take what's yours. Sometimes that's mixed in with jealousy, because a lot of times when you are about to lose something, or someone's, maybe your girl is cheating, your guy is cheating, it's a possibility that, yeah, you are going to lose something, and maybe you should be a little paranoid, especially if your partner's out there doing wrong. But if you're going to be thinking that just because somebody will spend a lot of time with you and all that other stuff, then that's paranoid, you know, basically. And so just to understand that with this type of angry is that, with this type of anger, shall I say, instead of acknowledging, you don't recognize your own rage, you know. You, in a way, you find out you get angry without even feeling guilty. Now, when that happens, that's to let you know something. When you get mad, you don't even feel guilty. I mean, you should have some kind of guilt when you get upset for no good reason. That's why, but do you know why? I guess that occurs because you think that you're basically protecting yourself. Self-anger is one of those things that you think that, you know, I got to protect myself. Not realizing that your poor judgment and confusion about feelings about other people is really the problem. So that one is just something to really concentrate on. As I go onward, the telephone line is still open. 888-228-4494 is our number in the United States and Canada. So now that we went over that particular thing, I want to talk about one that all of them tends to, as the call line is still open, sudden anger. Now, with these different anger styles, they can go together. Some oftentimes people have one, they have more than one, they have several types. And sudden anger could be the result at the end of all the other types of anger, and this is just the act itself for a lot of people. But people with sudden anger, they tend to have like thunderstorms in their mind when everything else is going good. You know, you start thinking, man, you know, this is a wonderful day, but all of a sudden you just get upset. And if it's such a wonderful day, why are you just getting upset for no good reason? I think sometimes people with sudden anger are people who just like confrontation. And if there's no confrontation in their life, then they want to make some. You know, lightning-like strikes, you know, they say. And this has a tendency to help them release their feelings. Gives them a sense of power. And they feel relieved afterward. To me, that's a warning sign. If I see that in a person, especially a female, and I'm a male, I'm going to think twice about wanting to be involved with that. The only sad thing is in most cases, you don't see those type of things right away. You see those things after you're involved with someone and you're in a deep relationship. And if you didn't follow the right path through that relationship, you're usually pretty caught up, you know. So that's the issue with that is. So the main thing is with sudden anger is that it usually produces some types of violence. And the violence is usually a very powerful thing, even though after they get done with the violence, they tend to regret it. That sounds to me like the cycle of violence that we teach in domestic violence, where there's one time someone do something, and then the next morning they're saying, would you like any cheese on your eggs, after they tried to kill you the night before. That's the kind of anger that sudden anger is about, is that because now they just want to forget like it never happened. You know? And furthermore, they don't have any regret. That type of anger is vicious. You know? So I advise you, if you have experienced anything like that, or you know somebody like that, give me a call. Let me know about it. Like I said, we also have some direct lines at 530-776-5185 or 530-876-9916. And the last one, 530-776-5154. So, now as we're moving along down the wonderful line of types of anger for you callers or prospective callers, the next topic is a shame-based anger. It's weird about the shame-based anger because these people are very, very sensitive to any type of criticism, you know, anything that these people just want. They want attention, but they don't want the criticism to go with it. So that's one of the things, is that when they have criticism, they get set off. I know you know somebody like that. You know, you tell them anything about themselves, they're quick to want to tell you about yourself. But the minute you tell them about their self, and then they start to feel like, man, I'm worthless, I'm no good. And then they start even thinking they're unlovable, you know. And this puts them at risk because they believe now, because of this shame that I'm feeling, I don't like myself. That's really what it boils down to. They don't like themselves. And since they don't like themselves, and you might have something to do with helping them to feel that way, now they consider what you're saying insults. And it helps them to not really think a lot of themselves. Their self-esteem is filled to them under attack, and they will attack you back. This type of anger is because it's based on, even though you're telling them something that could help them to improve in their life, you're saying, you know, honey, it's you should take a shower in the mornings before you go to bed, before you go to work, or you should do this, or you should do that. And they're going to take this as, what are you talking about? Oh, you say, honey, you should brush your teeth because your breath is a little strong, you know, something like that. And you're trying to help that person to become the best that they can be. And then they're taking you out of context and saying, you know, that's really bad that you're going to talk about me. And you know, when you're in a relationship, you're going to say things to people because you're going to notice some things about them that's not right. So consider those factors and keep that in mind. And as always, I'm hoping to get a lot more callers on the line. If possible, we have like possibly another 16, 15 more minutes. No, not even that long. We got 12 more minutes for callers to continue to call in. And meanwhile, I shall press forward with the next type of anger that we're talking about today's discussion. This is a deliberate anger. A deliberate one is one that we all are aware of. That's when we just get attacked. We know, because we know that somebody had a plan. You know? They had something in mind when before they did this. It looked well organized. It looked controlling. The person just said, man, you know, they had to say something in their head that I'm just going to go off on this person. And we have that. Generally, this is the kind of anger that happened in Colorado or any of the other types school killings that we read about or hear about, and that's destructive to people, is that? Yes, that type of anger. So, Carla, what can I do for you today?
Hi, this is Heidi Kim.
Hi,
and I just have a question for you. I have two kids, and since I have my kids, my husband, he never really wanted to come home after work. All he wants to do is just hang out with his friends. And I'm trying to see how, what I can do to bring them home and spend more time with the family. Is there anything that you can suggest?
Well, does he have a lot of friends that he hang out with that you are aware of, that you know?
Not really, just a couple of friends that I believe maybe the kids are driving him crazy or something. That is there anything that I can do?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is figure out is your relationship on good grounds, because generally when a man is not coming home, it's not usually just the kids. It could be maybe the relationship that you guys are fostering is not on solid foundation. So I would start there if I was you, to try to analyze if there's a problem. And if you can detect something, because there have to be some kind of warning signs before this happened. How long has this been going on?
Well, maybe the past year. Actually, a year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay. This year and a half is quite some time. How long have you guys been together?
11 years.
11 years. Okay. You know, generally after a relationship has lasted over 5 years and 10 years, sometimes there's a loss of interest. And maybe it could be just they need to try new things. Or maybe you guys can do new things together, and you can maybe you can sit them down and talk to them and say, hey, honey, it seems to me like you've been really preoccupied with other things. Is there something you really want to do, and can we do some things together? What do you like to do? You're going to have to sit them down in a conversation, what we call a fair fight, and try to figure out together what it is that you guys can do to improve your relationship.
Okay.
I mean, that's the start of it. And then maybe you want to do a problem-solving thing where you can start throwing alternatives out there to each other, because improving a relationship takes both parties. One person alone can't do it. It's going to take some real good communication where both of you are on the same page. And so you need to figure out, is he on the same page as I? Does he want the same things? And if so, if he does, then you can see if you guys can start working together on trying to problem solve. Now, if you're incapable of doing that, what I do recommend is sometimes we have to get counseling. Counseling means we need a mediator to help us get where we need to go. We can't do it ourselves, and it's not a shameful thing to go. People think counseling is a bad thing. Counseling is actually a good thing, because a lot of people do it anyway. They do it with their friends, and sometimes the person giving you advice is not very good, so it ends up being more destructive than good. Or they'll go back and tell some other friends, and that causes problems. At least with counseling, it's confidential. It won't get back. It won't start no he say, she say stuff, and then you can focus on what's really important in the relationship. So if you get to that level, then then that's the case where you need counseling. If not, you've tried the simple stuff first. And then on my website, I have a website, ReverendBlakeJohnson.com, for you guys on the radio station, that website is going to include materials that you can purchase and get towards relationships and videos. And in about 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something down the road, I'm going to offer those things to be downloaded through my website so that you can get more information on substance abuse, domestic violence, relationship issues, things that you're talking about, communication styles. I'm going to break it down, and then it's a good possibility you can start with the tape, the CD, and get them interested in listening and see if you can get a forum going that way and see how that goes.
Okay, and can you repeat me the web, please?
Okay, the website is Reverend, R-E-V, Blake Johnson, BlakeJohnson.com. It's still under construction, but it is open, but within a couple of weeks it'll have where you can get materials to deal with all the issues that I'm talking about on the air in more specific area in the form of CDs. And when I send a CD, I also send paperwork to go with it that helps explain different theories in which I use in my classes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you have any more issues, tell you, your friend, your family, tell your husband or boyfriend to call, or I'm not call, but tell them to tune in on our show and call in on the show. And I'll be on again in 2 weeks at 4 o'clock.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I really like these situations. You know, it's good if you can catch something early. Because if you can catch it early, you can do something about it. Just like any other disease, if you catch it early, there's hope and possibilities for a cure. The problem with, like, most diseases, like cancer and other things, we don't catch it right away. And we just say, oh, it's not that bad. Please, if you don't catch it early, it will be that bad. And at that point, now you're talking about some surgery that the risk factors go down as far as terms of success. Therapy and treatment is no different. And communication is no different. So the longer your relationship goes without getting some attention to it, the more possibilities of negative outcomes you're going to have. But this show will help you if you tune in. I can guarantee you that. Now, we got time for maybe one more caller if someone will tune in to our number here. We listed again. It's 888-228-4494. So that's our number. So tune on in. Time for one more caller. One more problem, because generally these problems look like they may take a minute. So if not, if we don't get a caller, I will continue on with, until I get one. In the last 5 minutes, I have a chance to explain. Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip over habitual and moral. I just want to talk about hate. So for the next 5 minutes or until I get a phone caller, I'm going to talk a little bit about hate, because hate is one of the worst anger issues and concerns that there is. It's the nastiest, and you know what? We all know what hate is, and simply, hate is just plain evil. And I know a lot of times we in relationships, we call it person, oh, you're evil. But they're not really truly evil until they become truthfully hateful, you know? And the main reason that you can tell that they're evil is they have no forgiveness. Those are the people you usually see in road rage and other situations, because someone said something or someone cut them off and they want to get you back. They want to hold some resentment for no good reason. They just don't care. You know, they don't care if you're innocent. They don't care. They don't care. All they care is about how they feel, and that's incredibly crazy. So you just got to understand, when they display those type of emotions and people do that, and that's one of the warning signs you need to look for in relationships. You know, generally when you first meet somebody, you're not going to experience that, because usually when you meet someone, they're not going to show you that. They want you. They want something from you, whether it be sex, money, whatever, because who knows what motives people have. And if you're in a relationship, sometimes that's when you start seeing, after they have believed that they got you, then they're going to show their true colors. You know, I think Cindy Lauper made this, I see your true colors calling. Yeah. Sooner or later, people have a tendency to show their true colors. And when they show their true colors, you act like you're shocked. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, you could have found out the true colors if you probably didn't rush to sex or a relationship or all those other things so fast. And that's one of the mistakes that we make, is that we assume that we know somebody, but we don't know them. How can we know somebody? The only thing we did is made love to them or had sex, or, you know, you don't know anything about them, their characteristics, what causes them to tick, what they have. You know, the biggest issue that I do in therapy is that most of the problems come from childhood. Something in their childhood, something, maybe they were raped, maybe they were mistreated, maybe they were abused at school, maybe they were picked on, maybe they were laughed at growing up in relationships, maybe they never had one, or if they did have a relationship, maybe they never had a good one, so they could believe that you're just as bad as all the others as far as they're concerned. So they have some hidden issues, some unresolved issues, and in therapy, one of the things we try to look at, and I don't exactly totally agree with Freudian, but in that sense, he was right in that there is, sometimes there's some unresolved stuff that makes us do the things we do, and anger is one of them. If it's unresolved issues, then anger will present itself. I have one last caller for today, and thank you guys for calling in. So who am I talking with?
Oh, Dennis there.
Who?
Dennis.
Hey, okay, Dennis, how can I help you?
Yes, I just want to discuss something, you know, with the influence, you know, friends. And so when it comes to religion, now here is someone, picture someone who wants to get involved with the church. But then they find that it's more, they see the church more as a social gathering rather than, you know, a religious. See, based on a conviction, you know, and I find out that this is a common thing. People tend to go to churches based on their association with friends rather than their commitment or their conviction as it relates to, you know, their relationship with God. So it's like they're using their relationship with man, you know, to get to God. Now, sometimes I think I tend to have a little issue with that, in that it's like they're doing it the other way around. I don't know if you share my view on the matter.
Okay, well, let me wrap this up. I'm going to wrap this up, but I'm going to tell you this, is that when you make up your mind to go to church, you need to find a Bible-believing church, and you need to find a place where you can grow and learn for yourself. If you can't do that, then you probably need to find some other place. Won't you call me back next week, 2 weeks from now, and I'll go further into detail, okay?
So I just want
to thank you all for tuning in, and this show is going to be more and more exciting. Tell all your friends to tune in to our 800 numbers worldwide, and just thank you all for tuning in to the Ending Family Destruction. Thank you.